This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Have you ever tried to pull the wool over someone's eyes? You know, play a trick on them? I remember several years ago, my brother, my sister, and I were visiting my parents' home for Christmas. Now, as I begin to tell the story, I need to say something about my father. My father was a brave man, but like all of us, we have our particular fears. And his fear was snakes. Well, here's how the story goes. My sister had purchased a rubber snake that looked very lifelike, and she decided to play a trick on our father. One evening we were sitting around the kitchen table and my sister got up with her best actress face and walked over to the sink. And then she said very dramatically, "What's that coming up out of the sink drain?" After a few moments of silence and a bewildered look on her face, she said, "Oh my, it's a snake!" Well, at that moment you could see my dad's face turn pale. And then he said, "You're not serious, are you?" Then, once again, putting on her best actress face, and with horror in her eyes, she reached into the sink and pulled out that rubber toy snake. Well, at that moment, you could hear an audible groan from my father, and you could see a look of horror in his face. But of course, my sister didn't let it go on too long. After a few seconds, she laughed and said, "Dad, take it easy, calm down. It's just a rubber toy snake, see?" Well, at that moment, the expression on his face changed. It changed from one of horror to one of utter relief and also some irritation at my sister. You know, we can learn a lot about a person by looking at his or her face, can't we? You can look at someone's face and you can see if they're scared or if they're angry or if they're sad or if they're bored or if they're a good actor. You can look at their face and conclude that they're honest when maybe they're dishonest. If they're a good actor, you can look at their face and conclude that they're happy when maybe deep down they're really sad. If they're really good actors, you can look at their face and see calm when inside they're terrified. In tonight's gospel reading, Jesus was teaching against the way of those who were known as hypocrites. Now that word hypocrite comes from the name of a Greek actor, an ancient Greek actor by the name of Hippocrates. And so simply put, a hypocrite is somebody who puts on an act. A hypocrite is someone who fools you with their face. You see, they pretend to be something on the outside, but in reality there is something totally and completely different on the inside. In tonight's gospel reading, Jesus is forcing us to face our sins, especially our sin of hypocrisy. We're all guilty of it in one way or another. But the good news is that there's hope for repentant sinners. Yet, if we resist repentance, if we replace repentance with hypocrisy, then we place ourselves in great spiritual danger. Let's face it, we've all sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. But if we face our sins, if we agree with God that they're evil, if we trust in Jesus who suffered the damnation we deserve, then we are completely forgiven and holy in God's sight. And the Spirit will help us to turn from those sins and to live as God's people. But if we play the hypocrite, if we think we can put on a righteous face, If we think we can fool others and maybe even God into thinking that we're basically good people who really don't deserve His wrath, well then, we're playing a game and we're spiritually sick and we're in danger of hell. Therefore, tonight Jesus calls us to repent of our hypocrisy, and He gives us several examples of how people loved to receive attention by way of their outward displays of good works. Now, please understand, there's nothing wrong with good works. We're supposed to do good works, but we can do good works for sinful reasons. Allow me to give you three examples of this. Here's the first example. Jesus addresses those who give to the needy in a hypocritical manner. They do this with great fanfare in the synagogues, on the streets. They give to the needy, but they do it in a way to draw attention to themselves. You can just see their faces. They're proud, and they want everybody to admire them. Well, Jesus calls us to face this sin and repent of it in our own lives. We have all helped others. We have all given to those in need at one time or another. But have we done it with some sort of pride? Have we done it in some way to bring glory to ourselves? If we've done this, we're guilty of sin. Oh, we should give to the needy, but we should do this in a way that does not bring glory to ourselves. When we help others in need, our faces instead should be humble. You see, we should consider it a privilege to help others because God helped us needy sinners by sacrificing His own Son for us. Jesus' face was filled with pain as He endured both physical and spiritual suffering for us on the cross. But even more, if you could see Jesus' face when He was on that cross, His face was also filled with love. Love for you. You see, that's why He endured the pain. He loves you. Therefore, when we do help the needy, we do this as forgiven sinners who consider it a privilege to serve others just as God has served us. The second example that Jesus gives us in Scripture is hypocritical prayer. Now, as a pastor, it's a great privilege to be a prayer leader in worship and at other events. It's also a joy for you to pray together with your fellow Christians at these services and at other gatherings. Having said that, let me stress that there's absolutely nothing wrong with public prayer. In fact, public prayer not only encourages our fellow Christians, but it can be a wonderful way to witness. I remember years ago when my wife and I and our young children were coming back from visiting her family in southern Texas. We stopped at a fast food place, I think somewhere in Oklahoma. But before we ate our meal, we said a prayer together. Not to show off, but to sincerely thank God for our food. About 10 minutes later, a man came up to our table. And he said to me, "You know, I couldn't help but notice that you said a prayer before your meal. I'm guessing that you must be Christians. You must believe in God. Would you please pray for me? I'm going through a really hard time right now." Just that little, simple, humble public prayer opened up an opportunity for us to witness to people. So there's nothing wrong with public prayer. However, Jesus does warn us against the sin of hypocritical prayer that draws attention to oneself in order to convince God and others that you are a righteous person. Jesus condemns those who pray to be seen by men. Whenever our outward religiosity is done in a spirit of pride to draw attention to ourselves, then we have the entirely wrong motivation. Instead, our prayer should be focused on God, and our prayer should be done in such a way that others end up focusing on God as well. Let me stress again, there's nothing wrong with praying in public, as long as we do it for the right reasons. That's why Jesus said that it would be better for us to pray in solitude, where only God can see our faces, versus praying in public if we're going to do it in a hypocritical manner. But Jesus is not thereby condemning public prayer. As long as it's done for the right reason, it's a good thing. In fact, that's one reason we begin practically every service here at Zion with the confession of sins. You see, we don't come to these services pretending to be something we're not. Together, we face the altar and we confess to God that we are sinners who deserve His wrath, but we also confess that we trust in His Son for the forgiveness that we desperately need. And then you get to hear me say to you in Christ's name, your sins are forgiven. This good news is what gives us the proper prayer attitude in public and in private. Third and finally, if you were to read on in Matthew chapter 6, you would read Jesus addressing the issue of fasting. Now, fasting is not something that's required, but many Christians do it during Lent as a devotional exercise. Some Christians will fast from various foods during Lent in order to help their spiritual exercises. Now, there's basically three reasons why we should fast. First of all, we fast so that we can take the time that we would have spent on meal preparation and eating that meal, and instead we use that time for reading scripture and prayer. So instead of maybe spending time getting breakfast ready and eating that, you would instead sit down, read the Bible, and pray. That would be one reason to fast. Another reason to fast is training yourself. Spiritual discipline. When we fast, we're learning to say no to ourselves. And that's something all of us need to learn to do. I know I do. This discipline is especially important when God moves us to say no to sinful desires that bring momentary pleasure, but ultimately spiritual ruin. By learning to say no to ourselves, even if we're saying no to legitimate pleasures, we're disciplining ourselves and training ourselves to sacrifice. Finally, a third reason that we fast is so that we might take the money that we save by not eating food and using it to give to the truly needy who might not have enough to buy the food that they need. And so instead of eating out two or three times a month, or instead of having certain meals during the week, you forego those and you use the money you would have spent on those meals to help those who are truly needy. Now, having said all that, I'm not saying that you necessarily have to fast from food either. Some Christians choose to fast from other things in order to have more time to be in God's Word and even more time to serve others. I have a friend who chose to fast from TV during Lent. And he was surprised at how much time he had left to study God's Word and to serve others by way of volunteering. You can think of things in your own life that you maybe could fast from that would give you more time to be in the Word and pray and help others. The whole point is that fasting is meant to help us discipline ourselves so that we can focus more on God and more on loving and serving others. Now, there is no requirement for fasting. Nowhere in the Bible does it say thou shalt fast during Lent, but it's something we can choose to do again to get our focus on God and to discipline ourselves to be servants of others. However, having said all those good things about fasting, even fasting can be done for the wrong reasons. If you read on in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus actually condemns the Pharisees for fasting because they did it in such a way as to draw attention to themselves. They would actually disfigure their faces and let other people know how weak they were. They would maybe say, you know, I haven't eaten for a couple days. I'm so dedicated to fasting because I'm such a spiritual person. Jesus condemns that. Instead, Jesus says, if you're going to fast, wash your face. Look to others as though you've been eating three meals a day. Don't let anyone else know that you're fasting. Don't use it as a way to convince other people that you're more spiritual than they are. Instead, do it just between you and God in humility. Then you will be blessed by your Heavenly Father. Now, having said all of that, we must all confess that we've been guilty of spiritual hypocrisy at times. Sometimes we do good things, but our motivation is pride. Sometimes we do good things, but rather than giving God all the glory, there is a sinful part of ourselves that wants to draw attention to ourselves. But tonight, we can come to God even with that sin, our sin of hypocrisy, and we can face it head on and know that Jesus is here to forgive us. He's here to forgive us and give us new hearts because He was willing to face the cross for us. You see, my friends, the purpose of Ash Wednesday is not merely to get us to grovel over our sins, although we need to do that, but the purpose of Ash Wednesday is also to focus on Jesus and the hope that He gives us. That's why, even though the ashes on our foreheads represent the fact that we are great sinners who deserve death, the sign of the cross reminds us that in Jesus we are forgiven, and we have the hope of eternal life in His love. So the purpose of Ash Wednesday is to get us to face our sins. And then God turns our faces to the cross, where Jesus' loving face shines toward us. A loving face of forgiveness. A loving face of humility. A loving face of a servant who gave Himself for us. If you read on in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about treasures. What's our treasure? If we treasure attention from other people, well then we've already received our reward. But if what we treasure is God's forgiveness and His love and His admiration, well, then we have the treasure that really matters. Facing our sins is hard. When we face our sins, we end up feeling bad about ourselves. We experience guilt and shame. But then God turns our faces to the cross. And He reminds us that His Son faced the cross for us so that we could be forgiven and live now and forever as God's dearly loved children. In fact, you get to face the altar tonight as you come to this Holy Supper, where Jesus gives you His own body and blood to assure you that you are forgiven and that you are His child. When you leave this place tonight, you can face this world with the knowledge that you are forgiven and loved by God, and that you are set free to be a loving servant of others, just as Jesus is a loving servant to you. So even though we do have to face our sins every day, we can face them in hope. We can face our sins knowing that we have hope because Jesus faced the cross for us and he didn't turn away because he loves you that much. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.